Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts tonight. Let's bring on the other one, Rob Zarek.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
How are you?
It's going.
That's good. I see we had the old intro play. That made me
great.
Don't know how that happened, but apparently I messed up.
It's just that kind of day out.
It is. Hopefully that does not set the tone for the rest of the show.
Right.
But you never know. So I'm excited to be back for another week. Seems like the weeks go by so fast, like we were just doing this.
Yeah, for real.
But it's been a full, 7 days now, so obviously math says it happened like the other day, but it seems like it. Mm-hmm. Maybe because it's like I'm just so excited to always do the show. And
maybe.
Yeah, we kind of spread the horizons on our guests, and I've had people from different genres, and then we do some psychic stuff. But today we're kind of going back to the bread and butter. Ghost hunting and paranormal investigating, type of interview. So it should be entertaining because we'll get a chance to talk to someone. We have never interviewed him on our show before, and I've known him for a long time, and it's just it'd be good to talk about like ghost hunting and techniques, and see what he's up to and his ideas. It's always good to share ideas in a positive way. I guess it's okay to share them in a negative way, too, as long as the outcome's good and you get something from
it. Right. Yeah. That works.
As long as you benefit or I benefit, that's good.
Yep. It's true.
But it's, I know he's been doing it for a long time, like us. So he's what's your I forget what the terminology he uses.
Seasoned.
Oh, seasoned. Yes, seasoned. That one's not as bad. That one doesn't make me feel as old as some of the other ones that people use. It's like their terminology for people who've been doing stuff for a long time.
Right.
Yeah. A veteran ghost hunter. I think that makes me feel kind of old too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess there's actually no right or wrong answer. Like, when you become seasoned, like, is there like a mark you have to hit? Is there a milestone? Is it like on your 1,000th investigation that you're all of a sudden seasoned? What's the
could be
the magic number?
I'm not sure. I don't know that there is.
No, there's probably not. I'm sure there's somebody out there who has that. They're like, well, you're not seasoned until you've done 1,000 investigations. But
been there, done that.
I think we have done over 1,000. So. So it'll be good to talk ghost hunting and see what he's up to.
Yeah.
you know, kind of go back to the roots.
Yeah. True that.
You know, because we've had, last week we had Jeff on to talk about his dowsing rods and stuff, which, you know, that was the, you know, that's something that I wonder if Paul uses, and, you know, so we'll see what he uses. We'll, you know, see if he has, like, a specific tool he kind of goes back to. I kind of think when we
right.
do ours, we kind of base it on where we go and what we're we found, and yeah, it's good to because maybe he used something that we don't use, which I'm pretty
True.
Sure we've tried everything, but
yeah, there's still
sick.
Stuff
know,
out there we haven't.
No, there isn't, and then there's also the fact of stuff that I've tried that I have not like wholeheartedly tried.
Mm-hmm.
There's a list of things on that, you know, where that was one of the mm-hmm. things with the dowsing rods. Is I think it was one of those things that I have not wholeheartedly tried until I did,
right.
and I actually, you know, saw a
enjoyed
benefit
it.
Using
right.
it. Yeah, enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that
yeah.
one thing that I've tried
as
to
I always
on,
say, don't knock it till you've rocked it.
And legitimately rocked it, not just like half-ass rocked it, because,
right?
You know, I'll be honest, and I think you as well. There's been times that we've tried things or done things that've been, you know, like not wholeheartedly into trying a new piece of equipment at a certain time or whatever. So, you know, look at me with the Ghost Box back when, how many years now? 6 years, 7 years, and you're like, hey, you should really give it a little bit more of a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably said F that. And then.
Probably. Yeah.
Then we did. I don't recall, like, when the one investigation was that I was like, hey, you know what? That's not that bad. And,
yeah.
You know, it took time. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you completely talked me into that. Now, you know, we've have clips that we have all over and coming out all over that were with the Ghost Box. And I,
right.
you know, I think I really took the time to listen. And I think that's something that's just not in my mindset in general. So that's what it was hard for me to adapt to that. I'm not a patient person. You know, I like to speed, you know, through things and, you know, trying to, when you decipher the Ghost Box and listen for, it's not always the person screaming in the Ghost Box is the one you're looking for. It was when I actually took the time and, you know, listened to the underlying words coming through
mm-hmm.
that I actually realized there was some intelligent conversation going on.
Yeah. It's true.
So that was one of those devices that took me a little bit of time, but I'm glad that I actually, you know, went ahead and, went for it, and I owe that to
yeah.
you.
Anytime.
And there's other times that we've used stuff that you said, hey, this is awesome. I'm like, no, it's not. So it goes both ways.
It does.
I'm like, no, you are wrong.
Then I told you that never is the case. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
You've never admitted it.
Because it so rarely would occur. Mm-hmm.
I think there was one time. I can't even pinpoint what it was, but it was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So you say. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think our guest is in the queue.
Let's bring Paul on, see what he's up to, what he thinks. Let's see if he thinks
All
that
right.
we've ever been wrong.
Ooh, that's a little loaded, but sure, we'll bring him in live. Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Paul, how's it going? How are you?
Pretty good. Doing all
long
right.
Long time, no talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Life's been throwing curveballs at me, but I think I'm doing okay right now.
good. We're excited to have you on. It was kind of on a whim, and you know, we're talking back to our bread and butter of just, you know, ghost hunting, and we wanted to have what Nikki describes as a seasoned investigator on, and talking, you know, about devices and, you know, in the trenches and stuff. And you know, we tend to like the word seasoned because I find that it doesn't make me feel old. You know, when some of the words that people use when, you know, you've been around a long time and done something for a long time, it's kind of like a Debbie. I'm kind of like a Debbie Downer on that. It makes me feel old. And so seasoned, I think, is a good word. So that's the word we like to use when it comes to people who've been around the block a lot with the investigating.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Good choice.
Yeah, it's not bad. Mm-hmm. So I guess I wanted to, you know, just talk to you about, like, things that kind of got you into investigating, techniques you like to use, maybe devices you like to use, and then anything else, you know, you have going on you'd like to share with us tonight. So I know you also have written books and, you know, you've done it all. So if you were to introduce yourself, what would you, introduce yourself to our audience. Give your rundown on yourself.
Wow. Usually I don't open up that much, mostly because I feel like I'm just like everybody else.
Right.
But if I had to summarize, I got involved in this stuff. I mean, in the paranormal in general, when I was 17, that was when I had my first-hand experience. But of course, you know, all I did was raise my curiosity, and I read books forever.
Sure.
Then around 2005, I seen people on television doing stuff, a couple of plumbers, and I thought, wait a minute, now if these guys can do this, maybe I can finally do it. And so I jumped in, you know, and I was the brand new orb chaser on the block. But,
right.
You know, we roll forward through the years. You know, everybody has gadgets they run around with and, you know, off-the-shelf hardware repurposed for doing different things and whatnot. And I got tired of buying them Paranormal 101 books because it seemed like no matter who wrote it, 75 to 90% of the material was just rehashed. It was all the same thing over and over just by different people.
Mm. Yeah.
Sure.
And
still is. And it was 2005.
What's that?
I said it still is, and it's way past 2005. It's still
a lot.
There.
And that's why I decided to go ahead and start sharing my methods for, you know, approaching the work. The book that I wrote, Thinking Outside the Box, was primarily devised to show people that you could do more than just take the scientific approach or the metaphysical approach. I took a psychological approach. I began trying to figure out whether or not when you pass away, how much translates when you get to the other side. Do you retain your sight, you know, any of your senses? Because those are keys in my work. That's how I manage to draw whatever I'm looking for closer to me without me kind of feeling like I'm intruding in a territory that's considered property by former owners that really don't, you know, you wouldn't just barge into somebody's house, you know, because it would kind of upset, you know, whoever's there. So I try and avoid anything that may put me on a defensive level with whatever may be there. That's the short of it. I create areas of curiosity, and it works. I mean, in short, all my research points to the fact that there's plenty of ways to do the work, and this doesn't even involve gear. You're literally by yourself in a room, no gear, and I brought something out into the open that came and looked for me in a room of five additional people. They all witnessed it. They all saw it. There are ways to do it. So, now I won't lie. I don't have any psychic powers and all the gifts that everybody claims they have. I'm just a guy that has to harness science and approach my work, you know, on those two fronts. So, I got tired of all these gadgets everybody has, all these things that's out there that, you know, usually has the word ghost in the label on it. And I did like buying gear that people said worked, and didn't exactly understand how it worked thoroughly, because it's like picking up a, I don't know, piece of technical equipment and going, I'm going to use this. but you don't even know exactly what it does. So it kind of makes you look silly. Instead, I decided I'm going to build my own stuff, and that's what I do. I build my own gear. I share all of my plans. People can replicate my stuff. People can test it, you know, wherever they're at. And that's been the basis for what I do since I've, you know, been doing the work in the field.
No, that's awesome. And I look forward to anything maybe you have coming up or anything you have coming out. Do you have anything that you're working on right now? Can you
talk
about it?
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to tell you about something that I'm working on. I'm going to take that chance because I've already built two prototypes, and they've been run through a little bit of paces, but this weekend I've got a bunch more tests that I'm going to be doing in West Virginia. But anyway, and by the way, I'm in Tennessee, if you don't know, so it's a little bit of a trip. But anyway,
sure.
One of the things that bugs me about, you know, doing this kind of work, especially with what I came into, is there are a lot of, I don't want to call them prejudice, but there are certain things that people take for granted, and I don't think anybody's ever really done the research to prove or disprove whether or not it's true. So, you know, I hear EMF plays a large part. I've never seen it proven. So I decided to step back from all that and approach a method to make a better determination of just exactly what a ghost can affect. You know, people have never really said, well, I wonder if they can do this, and I wonder if they can do that. So I built this box. Okay? It's actually, it's part of my psychological approach, because in that work, there was something I developed called request signs. And what they were these signs that you hang up, scatter around a location, and they have different things written on them. But they're all generally the same starting out. They always say, if you can read this, and then in big letters it says, please. Underneath that it has a request, like open the door, turn off the light, you know, pull open a drawer, roll the ball, rock the chair. You know what I mean? You can put these all over the place. And I know they work because at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, it was recorded on video. We had one put on a door that never had any activity on it. And the people running the place called me and said, you're never going to believe this. That door is now opening and closing. So that proves a couple of things to me in my mind. One, they can read. And two, they're just as curious as to why they requested there in the first place. So what this can do with a camera, obviously, is help us in our quest to gain proof that something paranormal is taking place. Now, I took that concept and married it to this box. On the box it says, if you can read this, place your fingers in the holes. There are four holes cut out, and inside are four sensors. A capacitive sensor, a light sensor, a thermal sensor or temperature sensor, and a magnetic sensor. And literally, we can only affect three. But it would be nice to see the fourth one light up. But let's say something is in the room, and it sees that. And let's say it puts its fingers in there, if in fact it still has fingers. And each one of those sensors has an LED that corresponds to it. So if you set it off, it'll light up. Now, with this concept, if just one of those lights comes on, which is what I'm hoping for, just one, at least one, I can now blow this concept and snowball it into a couple of new concepts, like building another box, using whatever that sensor was that worked, making two holes in a box, and using that same sensor in all the holes on that box. And then I label one yes and another no. You see where this is going?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's cool.
If you really want to roll it forward, if we ever get to that point, it would be really cool if we had a whole big box with 26 letters and 26 of the same triggerable sensors. That would be interesting.
Yeah,
but again,
for sure.
It requires input. It requires curiosity. It requires the cooperation of whatever's in the room. And that could all fail. But who's done it? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try. So cat's out of the bag. That's what I'm working on.
I think that's fantastic. And it's funny you brought up the point about even just I have never seen that video with, you know, the reading of the sign. And
yeah,
a similar you know, concept or just something that we've captured a couple of times is we've had for, you know, there's been a name, you know, like on the wall or something, and they've read the name. We were at a haunted museum, and I don't know if you've ever been to the Archive of Afterlife, that Steve Hummel has a museum in West Virginia, and he's got an execution cap. Well, and so he's got the execution cap from the penitentiary, and he's, you know, there's a claim that, you know, it's haunted and, you know, the spirit is attached to it. And I don't know exactly how I feel with items having attachments. I guess it goes day by day and situation by situation with me. But I'm getting at is, you know, he has a list of the inmates who were executed wearing that cap. You know, my first thought was, why would you come back and visit the cap? Or, you know, and then stem that off of different thoughts. But when we did an investigation there, we captured the full first and last name of one of the inmates that was on the wall. You know, but my first thought was, is that just an entity or spirit that can read and is screwing with us? Or is that the actual, you know, this guy Thomas Ingram? Or Tom Ingram, and
right,
you know, that was my first thought process was, yeah, and that's just me being skeptical in general. I was like, you know, if it was me, you know, I might screw around with people, and I'd be like, yeah, this is Thomas Ingram. You know, obviously I'm not
right.
Thomas Ingram, but you know, so it's cool to see that, you know, you have also done research with you and that would, I guess, solidify my thought process is that, yeah, they can read on the walls. So, you know, are they screwing with you because they're bored, you know, or are we actually talking to, you know, the person who's on the wall? And I guess there's just, we'll never know.
Right.
When it comes to that situation.
That kind of goes along with the notion that I've always had that, you know, is it an evil spirit or a disgruntled spirit pretending to be an evil spirit?
Right.
So, it's interesting. Let me throw one at you here that I think you'll find interesting too. As part of my research, another thing that made me think that I'm probably right about my assumption on this, I was with five other people. We were at a location. Rumor is there was a little girl that died there, burned in a fire. It's a place that I used to go and investigate all the time. And when I got there, I was there with two people. I had brought them out there. They were going to film something, and they were looking for a place to film. So I had them talk to the property supervisor. And there was another family that was visiting there, and the supervisor wanted me to entertain them and kind of show them what the place is like. So now I'm there. I've got three members of a family, two friends that I brought that own a production company, and we're all together at this house. And I was being told some stories by one of those three from the family, the head of the household. He was telling me that he had two weird things happen. Said that he saw the shadow, and the shadow was moving around, and he didn't do anything. He didn't understand why it was there or what it was doing. And two different instances, at one point he was yelling at it, and it charged him. In another instance, he was sitting in a chair, just sitting there, and it came down some stairs, came all the way up to him, and he said, I started to reach out and say hello, and as soon as I started to utter the word hello, it took off, ran, you know, retraced his steps all the way back up the stairs and was gone. So I told him, I said, what were you doing in both of those scenarios? You know, explain it to me. He says, nothing. I was literally like doing nothing. And so he told me, he says, you know, in the first scenario, it was me and two other guys, and they were changing a bunch of equipment out. They were just changing equipment out. That's it. Everything was quiet. They were changing their batteries and things. And I thought about these scenarios because on the second scenario, he was trying to help a lady with an audio recorder, you know, get the files off of it. And they were being real quiet, and they could hear stuff upstairs. So it alarmed him, and he kept getting mad because he couldn't go up there. He was trying to help this lady. And eventually, He got about halfway up the stairs and this thing charged him. But anyway, between the two scenarios, I'd already worked out a solution. I figured it out. So I told all these guys at about 11:30 at night, listen, here's what I want you to do. You know, we kind of huddled up. I said, we're going to go around the room. We're going to be scattered around the room. I want each person to make some kind of noise for 5 seconds, no talking. When that 5 seconds is up, I want a 30-second delay, and then I want the next person to make a sound. But don't make the same sound as anybody else. Everybody make a different sound. I don't care if you knock on a wall. I don't care if you crinkle a bag. I don't care if you snap your fingers, rattle your keys. I don't care. No duplication. So we all split up. We waited about a minute, and the first person made their noise. 30 seconds later, another person makes a noise. Now, remember, we're quiet. By the time it got around to me, this thing flew into the room. It was standing less than 2 feet away from me. Behind it, in a direct line, was a video recorder aimed down the hallway that this thing flew in from. Now, you know, on a recorder, they have those blinking red lights that indicate mm-hmm. it's recording. Every time that light blinked, it looked like purple, cloudy colors and stuff emanating from the center of where it was shining through the shadow. It was weird. But everybody in the room saw it. And so you ask yourself, what was I doing? Why did I do what I did? Ask yourself, have you ever been going to bed and relaxing, but there's that sound you hear and you don't know what the hell it is? What do you normally do? You go find out. And that's exactly what it did. We fooled it. So I want to let you know now there's a fool me twice rule. I pulled it off one time, and it's never been replicated at that location. They're smart. They're just like us. They were us.
Yeah.
So now you got another trick to play.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's the fun stuff to do. And then here's one that we were investigating a opera house, and this wasn't that long ago. And so another device, and it's not even a device, it's the dowsing rods. We started using them maybe with a little bit of consistency like a year ago, but only in like a handful of locations, and really just one location. So I guess that's not a handful. Mm-hmm. But we were there, and I was, you know, thinking I've had luck with them, and I thought, you know, what if I did not actually say the questions out loud and just, you know, thought them? And I was getting the responses that I wanted to get. And when I use dowsing mm-hmm. rods, like I don't build a scenario. You know, like I think a lot of people build a scenario like, is your name this or is your name that? And then, oh, it's this guy. And, you know, like I use them more like, hey, if I stand in the center of the room, like point to the exit sign, you know, or do stuff like mm-hmm. this just to see if I'm communicating with the spirit. Not necessarily. I don't see. You know, I don't think, is this Joe, and then they cross it, and it's Joe, and instantly I'm talking to Joe, and then I'm building a storyline based on, you know, what the rods are
right.
doing. But
yeah,
when back, I would say, hey.
You're backfilling.
Right. You know, and this was on our conclusion wrapping up, and I was standing in the middle, and, you know, Nikki was, like, to the right, far right of me, and I had a guy, Jim, to the far left, and I would say, all right, can you point these to Jim? And he would point to Jim. And I'd say, all right, point these to Mickey. But I was thinking this, you know, and then I was also trying to think, you know, are we the ones that are manipulating it? So obviously if it's coming from my head, you know, and I'm the only one, is it me that's doing it? You know, I'm not physically doing it, but is it
right.
somehow tied into me? Or, you know, can they think or see, hear our thoughts? You know, so then,
right.
but then there's no answer there. So, but it was interesting. It was just interesting that they were going, you know, based on what I was thinking. And I had told
mm-hmm.
Nikki, and she's like, what the hell are you talking about? She's like, this is the stupidest thing.
Well,
I
couldn't
heard.
Hear what you were thinking. So, like, you were like, it's answering them right. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, and he's like looking to me for validation. And I'm like, dude, I can't read your mind. Like, you're not asking anything. It was just like, painful. It was painful.
Yeah.
Right.
The investigations together that she would be like, yeah, you know, if you're doing it, you're saying it, I believe you. And instead of doing that, she's like, man, you're weird. She's like, are you still taking your pain pills? I'm like, no, I'm not on my pain pills. So I think what I'm going to do this next time we get together, and I forgot it because we've done like five investigations since, is make like a pre-list, like a list, and give her the list. And then, you know, go off the list and not say anything. And then, you know, it won't give – the conclusion will not be 100% because I don't know if they can, you know, hear my thoughts or read my thoughts or if it's me doing it. But at least I know that it's something to throw in the mix. And if I write it on a card and I give it to her, then, you know, at least then she won't be like, wow, you're weird. You know, she'll know what I'm thinking.
True.
Yeah, I just looked at him like he had 12 heads. It made no sense. I was like, oh, my God. He's lost his
made
mind.
Made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You have to I got to drop another shoe on you here and give you some back thoughts or my own thoughts back on the notion of reading, essentially reading your mind and knowing what you're thinking. I've been doing a lot of reading on the near-death experience, a couple of good scientific, the scientific search and for the explanation of near-death experience, good book. And it made me think. I actually talked to a guy who had a near-death experience. He technically died in a parking lot of a hospital here in town. He didn't get to make it indoors. They ended up finding him out in the parking lot. But anyway, he was bleeding, and he thought he could get in, you know, no problem. He thought he had plenty of time. Got out of his truck, collapsed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He thought he stumbled, he said. And then I stood up, and suddenly, all over in this parking lot that he's parked in, there are people, like a crowd come out of nowhere. He says, I don't know where they came from. I don't know what they were doing because it just looked mindless. They were just kind of wandering around and staring off, you know, the 1,000-yard stare. And he said, I kept asking him. I said, hey, I need help, you know. And they were just kind of ignoring me. He said, I finally got mad. He said, I stepped right in front of him because I thought, I'm going to get your attention. I want to show you, you know, and I'm serious. I mean, business. I could die. I need help. And it walked through him, and he suddenly realized he was dead. So, yeah. And he said all of a sudden, high speed, and he was somewhere else. He said, I was standing in the dark on what looked like some precipice or a cliff or something. He says, as I looked across and up from me, there was this other place. It's dark. I can see another precipice, and it's got two gates. He says, I know it sounds corny like the pearly gates and all that. I didn't know exactly what was going on. I was scared to death. He said, and I started to hear something when I turned my head to the right, and there was a lady with a baby in her arms floating diagonally from the lower right towards those gates. And she looks at him, and she says, come on, let's go. You know, we got to get up there. And the back half of her looks like a flag fluttering in the wind. But from the waist up, she's solid and carrying a baby. Now, I asked him, I said, did this girl talk to you? I mean, did her mouth move? Did you hear her voice, you know, across the distance? Or did it sound like she was in your ear? He said, sound like she was in my ear. So I thought to myself, what if when you die, we all have the capacity and, you know, ability to talk to each other without a physical mouth, right? So with that notion, let's say that you're in your body. You're still the same spirit, but you're in a body. Let's say that body has locks on it to prevent you from doing those things. But your spirit still does what it does. So when you talk to somebody, your thoughts are going out there from the spirit side. But from the physical side, you don't know that. But to another spirit out there, when you're talking, it's hearing your voice. And when you're not talking, it's hearing you think. Because you think you're thinking when you're actually talking and you're transmitting that way. Just a thought.
Yeah.
That's why I guard my thoughts.
Yeah. No, I think that type of stuff is interesting. You know, and it's not. I can't say we always do that when we go on our investigation, but you know, it's fun to throw something in there rather than just, you know, throwing in a REM pod that's a junior theremin kit or something.
Right.
You know? go off, you know, which is cool in itself. I mean, we've had success with them where I can't explain why they're going off. You know, they seem to be intelligent, but, you know, it's also fun to, you know, think outside the box. And I know there's times that, you know, a lot of times Nikki will stop at the store or something. She's like, look what I got. And I'm like, what is that for? She's like, we might be able to use this. You know, so I think that's the way we investigate is we always, you know, we could be walking at the dollar store and see something that's completely unrelated to ghost hunting and be like, wow, I think we might be able to, maybe this will work or, you know, it's worth a shot. Mm-hmm. I think people are so set in their ways because they see something certain on television or see, you know, or read something or see something posted on, the internet and they don't try to think outside the box. You know, they just go with what they see on television, you know, and that's the biggest issue. And, you know, when we go and lecture, we go and do something, we always have people ask, you know, or not always, but a lot of times the stuff that they ask is based on what they've seen on TV. You know, do you investigate in the dark? You know, why do you investigate during the day? Or we'll show somebody a clip and they're like, that's during the day. You're not supposed to investigate during the day. I'm like, whoa, who says that? Mm-hmm. And their answer is TV.
Right, right.
You know, or
TV says
if you have an EVP or a ghost box that sounds like a child, now, because it's been all over, you know, TV that's over the past years, is they've come up with a theory that, which is a legitimate theory, but it's not every time you have a child, it's not a demon. But now, because it's on TV, 100% of the time, you know, they're like, oh, they're just trying to fool you. It's a demon. You know, it may not be. I think it goes case by case. But I think not every time you hear a voice that sounds like a child, that's necessarily 100% a demon. But, you know, because now it's the popularity of it and the scare factor and that they bring into the television shows, it's a lot of times people bring that into their investigating, and I think it limits them.
And that's why I smash all my preconceived notions. You know, I was really bad about it. I followed the example set forth. I thought that was the way it was done, and I've shattered that. I just don't conform anymore. I'm kind of a loner, and I don't mean to make anybody mad, but I've had lots of people tell me, you know, well, here, have you tried this? And I'm, no, I don't want none of that. One of my big pet peeves, and no offense, is I don't like blinky light gadgets because they tell me nothing. I want to know what's causing it. I want to know if there's a different way to figure out what it is. That's why, you know, instead of using an EMF sensor, I use induction coils to capture, EMF signatures in the hopes that maybe we'll capture one that's actually a voice where we can prove the link between EMF and an EVP. But that still remains to be seen. So I always want to go that next step. That's just me.
Well, is there, you know, when you go out there, is getting the EVP or getting, you know, so what's like your thing if you walk away with what really excites you?
You know, it's kind of crazy, but this personal experiences blow me away. And I've learned since, 2005 till now, it's 15 years. The number of times I've captured any kind of a ghost on any form of camera or video camera is zero. I've learned that if you take a set of cameras and a surveillance system, I don't care if you've got 10 rooms and you only have 9 cameras. You can bet your bottom dollar if it makes an appearance, it'll be in that last room without a camera, and I don't know why.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. It's very rare that we capture something that happens.
Yeah.
Like it personally, I think I could think of maybe like one or two things that we've gotten lucky on. We've captured actually things from different angles, but it's always something that, you know, and then trying to relay the personal experiences to people is more 9 times out of 10, they don't care. Or they think it's cool, but it didn't happen to them. You know, it's hard to, hard to relay that. And I've seen things, and, you know, there was a time that Nicole had an experience that was completely awesome. And I was more wrapped into the situation than making sure I was documenting it correctly. And to this day, she's still like, I can't believe you didn't record that.
She's
like,
so
why
mad.
Did you take the camera with you?
Oh, yeah.
And it was, I don't know how much you know about different buildings, but we were at the House of Wills in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm. And she actually became Mr. Wills for about 15 minutes. And I was more concerned at getting her out of the building, not documenting it.
Right.
But in hindsight, you know, so we have a minor capture of it when we first, I first discovered that something was wrong, just not right.
Yeah.
And out of all of my years investigating, I've never seen anything like that before or anything since, you know, so it's a rarity.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things that it's a story. And the funny thing is, it's like, she can't even recap it because she doesn't remember it. So it's just, you know, it's one of those things that she knows that she can't account for those 15 minutes. But as for what had happened, you know, that's
really would like to have seen it.
Yeah.
I knew people that were like that. You know, we could have an experience and the one person that's not there is the one person that always seems to not be around when it happens. It makes you wonder if it's specifically, you know, withholding from that individual or not.
Right.
You know, we had that happen on certain devices. There's a device that she bought, a ghost box that she paid a lot of money for. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, it didn't work for her. And then I would try and it would work for me. You know, I sensed then.
Oh, it makes me mad.
Down a little bit. But it was funny because I
had it made for me, shipped from the UK, okay?
Oh,
paid
man.
In pounds, which means I paid a lot more than I had anticipated.
Oh.
And, yeah. And all it does is make some sort of like goat sound or some, I don't even know, a grunt. And I'm still a little bitter. Yeah. But it works great for Rob.
It's worked.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm glad
you
like it.
Feel about...
You're welcome.
That's okay. Every single device that we have, she ends up with anyway, so it doesn't matter. But how do you feel about the ghost boxes? Do you use your ghost box?
You know, a friend of mine, Mike Baker, did heavy research on ghost boxes and actually had recorders set up for every area he was living in to record every channel coming over the airwaves simultaneously. And his research showed that when he ran a ghost box, everything that came through could later be played back and placed and matched to everything that he was recording, which in essence meant that when you heard something coming through, you heard the radio, which is what it's designed to do. And so he says, didn't work for me. He says, I've tried it and tried it and tried it. Doesn't work. Now, there was another study he did as well where everybody sat in a room and somebody would ask a question with a ghost box. And instead of somebody blurting out what was said, he had everybody write it down. And he found that quite often, almost nobody matched, which means it was highly interpretive. So...
Mm-hmm.
He said, rather than wander through that pool of confusion, I just don't even go there, especially since we're asking a ghost to learn electronics and be able to speak through a radio transmitting on a frequency that's a modulated a frequency on a carrier wave. You know, it doesn't just come out. You know, it's got to be a packet of information packed up a specific way with its, you know, specific protocol and come through. Now, we know we get voices on standard audio recorders, and that may be what's actually taking place. You may be running this ghost box, and it's just you're still hearing the audible voice coming through like you would if you just had an audio recorder. Well, to me, that means I don't need a ghost box. I just use an audio recorder, and that's the way I've always operated. It's just easier for me. It's less confusing. It's less interpretive. So all the way around, for me, it's a win-win.
Well, we do use the ghost box, and you know, we use it for a lot of projects and stuff that, you know, people want what Nikki calls instant gratification, so they can hear it in real time.
Sure.
With our live stream and stuff, something that I always say is responsible ghost boxing, and basically, you know, not letting it lead us.
Right.
And you know, there has been times that we have gotten stuff and that I can't explain. You know, it's just like that EVP that comes through, and it's intelligent. You know, and then
right.
if we're going to put something out on the internet saying, hey, this is a finding, you know, we tend to only say finding because we don't put hardcore, hey, 100% this is 100% paranormal evidence. It's something that we found
right,
interesting.
Right, right.
And, you know, here, sure, maybe you'll find it interesting. You know, it's not like, mm-hmm, labeled, hey, we're demanding you like our evidence. You know, this is paranormal evidence.
Right.
We're stamping it 100%. Because it's open to interpretation. But if we put something out of the ghost box, we usually send it to additional people and not tell them what we hear and see if they hear the same thing. You know, and if actually if you have like 10 people are like, wow, that's a really cool scenario because it said this and it answered your question here, and, you know, 9 out of 10 all pick it up, or, you know, there's a variable where, you know, it says there's something and here's something, you know, where it's just the small interpretation of, you know, here or there, or, you know, then we're in business. But if, you know, like you said, if you have 10 people and you have 10 different responses and they're not even close, you know.
Right.
It's
and that still makes me wonder how many of those that you get could have possibly been actual EVPs that you could have recorded with a standard audio recorder. How much clearer would it have been without all the interference of the transmitting static and such?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, yeah. I mean, I'm not, I was just saying. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, right. No, I agree. But there, there's some times that we'll run the ghost box, set a camera on it in an area that we're not going to particularly hit that night, and then just go back and, you know, listen to it and see if there's anything that comes through, because obviously we're not asking questions. And I swear there's been times more than once that we've picked up spirits communicating with each other, because it's like they're having a conversation. And one in particular was at Ohio State Reformatory where, you know, it was more inmates talking based on what they were saying compared to what you would even think would be on radio. You know, and it was the same two or three voices that were all 6 hours. And I don't know any radio stations that go for 6 hours.
Or that may use cuss words.
Right, cuss words and talk about, hey, you know, what are they serving today for lunch? And they're having a conversation about lunch and, you know, stuff like that. That would be something more along the lines of what inmates would be talking about. And, you know, and every time I tell this story, I remember, you know, we set up our camera late, you know, once we had the ghost box running. And what was interesting there, and this is another thing that she was like, I can't believe you didn't capture this. And I think that must be like a reoccurring scenario now that I think about it after I'm telling the story. She's always like, what the hell didn't you have the camera going for? I guess I should set the camera on first. And we actually had the OSR radio station come through, and the guy's face, who our guide, his face is like, what? He's like, I can't believe it. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? He's like, Ohio State Reformatory Radio, OSR Radio, what they're talking about. That hasn't been an active radio station since like 1982. And I was like, oh,
there you go.
That's interesting. You know, so it was like, hey, you're listening to OSR radio, you know, Mansfield.
That's
like,
cool.
Yeah, that's not right. And that was cool. But of course, that was another thing I didn't have my camera on for. So.
No, but his face was priceless, man. When he came down, he was still like white as a sheet. I mean, he was just so blown away. It was cool to watch.
And he's one of those guys that you can't blow away. So, you know, that was the coolest part about it, but that's another personal experience that no one else will ever know but the three of us.
That's
cool. The four of us.
Twilight Zone
but,
stuff.
That was interesting.
Well, it was pretty cool.
Now, can people still purchase your book?
Oh, yeah. I just came out with a new edition. I've had a couple of previous editions, but the new 2020 edition is finally in print, and what you can do, I having cancer, I don't have money falling out of my pockets. My bill collectors make sure of that. So what I do is I have direct control of my books. So if anybody would like to get a copy of those books, you can contact me on my Facebook page and we can arrange to have one shipped to you.
Nice. Very cool.
Well, and I think we could probably even put that up on our page, try to get it's a very interesting concept and it's a good read. So if you're listening, we go over to Facebook and hit Paul up directly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you get the book and you can't find one usable technique, you would be the first person I ever met that couldn't find something to use in that book. There's always good concepts and things to try in that book, and the majority of which involves no hardware whatsoever. You know, there may be a couple of advice chapters on using camcorders and surveillance systems and stuff. But the thing is, I wrote it primarily just as a conceptual book that really gets into the methods for how I do my work.
Nice.
Well, I think there's going to be some stuff we're going to try, even just from our conversation. I wouldn't mind putting signs up and just seeing if we can get something to happen just with the signs up. I don't think we've ever done that before.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you the zip file with all the pre-made ones in there, and you could just, you know, pump those out and keep them handy and use them wherever.
Yeah, that would
very
be cool.
Because
that would go along with the theory that I've had that there might be a prankster, say, a Thomas Ingram. So, because
mm-hmm.
I believe they can read.
Yeah, I'm convinced.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I am too. So, but we wanted to thank you for. I know I want to thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
And,
mm-hmm.
We'll have to do this again soon, and we'll have to put some of those theories to test.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what you've tried and kind of see how the success and failure rates go.
Well, I'll have to tell you about the next time when I have that card and I'm doing the dowsing rods, when I'm better prepared and she actually has the answers preset rather than just looking at me.
Yeah, that would be good, too. That would be helpful.
A little forewarned there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, well, we will talk to you soon, and we want to hear about your device, too, when you get more testing, and then whenever you're ready to release some more information, hopefully you'll consider us to release it out there and talk to people about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
No problem, Rob, and
right.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you so much. Nice meeting you.
Yeah. So wish you all the best.
Very good.
And
see you
I'm
too.
A Facebook
thank
paper
you.
Away.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome.
I got to talk to you anyway. So, all right. Have a good night.
See you, bye.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Well, you know what was fun about that is that you don't necessarily need the hundreds of dollars in devices to investigate. And
true.
I think that kind of, you know, proves that point that sometimes, you know, you can just, and I know this because you legitimately do bring stuff to our investigations. You're like, hey, I picked this up at the dollar store. I think this might be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
you already had that mindset anyway. And I think sometimes, you know, there's people like, hey, I want to get into it, but it looks so expensive. And you're like, no, not really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there might be a cheap device. And, you know, we're actually hoping to come out with a cheap device to help. You know, but I
right. Or
if
all your equipment fries in your car because of the heat,
right.
You know. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, there are little experiments that you can do that don't cost that much.
Yeah.
You know, other than, you know, definitely. I'm pretty sure everyone knows the whole, hey, put a ball out and see if the ball rolls.
Yeah, but some places that's jaded because, like, if you were to do that at my work, the floors are not level. The place
right.
is really old, you know? So doing something like that there and having the ball roll, I'm not going to be all that impressed, my friend. I'm going to be like, yeah, okay. You know, because I already know it's not level. So that's why sometimes doing something that's maybe not just a ball, but doesn't have to cost you $1 million.
You can still have a ball doing it.
That's right.
Well, I think that what we'll do is maybe we'll test some of these out. I think I actually like the sign idea because, you know, I often tell that Tom Ingram story that
mm-hmm.
I'm not sold if that's actually Tom Ingram. So, you know, I believe that they can read because the communication.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of believe that they can even hear or read your thoughts now that I think about it, which can be good or bad because a lot of times – probably don't even want to know what I'm thinking.
Right.
And that reminds me, you know, things I have thought that, God, if they only knew, or I guess they did know.
I guess they do know. I need to clear my
thoughts out next time I go somewhere.
Yeah, but how do you really clear your thoughts out?
Don't know. Maybe you train yourself not to think anything negative or bad or try to be funny.
Yeah,
you know,
that was
you know I like to try to be funny.
Don't think you're funny, Rob.
But if I think I'm funny to myself, then only the ghost will know.
That doesn't relay over to other people.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. At least you understand that now.
Yeah, what I'm going to try to do
is some
fun signs. I think it's some fun signs.
Mm-hmm.
We can have fun with that.
Yeah. Definitely open to, you know, giving it a whirl and see how it goes.
You know, why not?
Yeah. That's what I say.
So on our next investigation. Yeah, and that might have actually be interesting for like a, you know, we occasionally put up like a static camera too and run that live so people can like watch and see if anything happens. If we have, you know, like a sign that says knock over this and have that set up, and then another sign that says do this and have that set up, you know, then it kind of wouldn't be like, it might be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it'd be pretty cool. Why
I
not?
Think so, because I just came up with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, sometimes I have ideas I don't really go for after I set them either, so. Yeah,
we'll have to give it a whirl.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we will see and hear and talk to everyone next Tuesday or before or after.
Yes. Sounds like a plan. Everyone take care. Have a good week. And let us know if you've tried any of the stuff we talked about tonight out and if it worked for you.
Yeah, we'd like to. I think we should do that. We should tell people to like have like a universal test or something. Like, hey, put this sign up and see if anything happens, or you know, do this or do that and see if anything happens.
Mm-hmm. That would be pretty interesting. I think it'd be cool.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll see everyone next week.
Yep. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.